I'm longing to be as clay to the potter. May I be to thee. You may have to break down resistance at times, but Lord, don't stop molding and shaping my life. Shape me, dear Father, please make me like you. Mold me completely so I can be true. And if you have to break me, may I understand you're still loving and holding my life in your hands. It would be such disservice, results would be nil, if clay rejects potter and it seeks its own will. It could only be cast out to the old potter's field. Please don't cast me out, Master. Put me back on your wheel. Please make me like you. Mold me completely so I can be true. And if you have to break me, may I understand your still loving and holding my life in your hands. And if you have to break me, may I understand you're still loving and holding my life in your hands.
Now get your Bible in your hand. I want every parent of every student to listen carefully this morning, because I feel like the Lord really laid something on my heart for this Academy Sunday to preach to you. So little preaching is being done on the subject that I will deal with this morning, and I'm asking the parents, and not just the parents of the school, but the parents of the church. Any parent in here, I mean every parent, we have a number of you, I want you to listen. And I want you to take these scriptures down that I'm going to read to you and preach from. And this afternoon, or tonight, or this week in your home prayer meeting, I want you to discuss these scriptures with your children. And I want the children of this church and of this school to get these scriptures so fixed in your mind that it will affect your life for this hour that is in front of us and near us. You see, we are right on the doorway of the rapture, the coming of Christ to get his saints. How many of you know that? How many of you know that? Families, how many of you know we're right there? But so few people are really getting ready to go. And I want to look at the scriptures. We'll start, if we might, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 9. 2 Peter. That's 2 Peter, Peter 2, second of the two books of Peter, of Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 9. Write this down, if you would, in your list when you sit back down. Very important. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now listen, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements of the heavens shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, they shall vanish, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Here's a picture of the sudden appearance of Jesus to rapture the saints of God. It is a picture that most of this world has no comprehension of. He comes as a thief in the night. No prior warning. No prior warning. No billboard. No notice on television or in the newspaper or on the radio. Just suddenly, without any indication, it's about to happen. As a thief in the night. You understand what it means when you say as the thief in the night, don't you? That means nobody's expecting it. He comes in very, 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 very carefully without any prior notice. And suddenly he's there. That's how Jesus is coming. Now, Father, I pray this morning for this wonderful congregation. Every parent that came with their children. Every student, as well as all the children connected with the church. We ask your blessings, your love, your favor upon us and upon this word and upon every ear, every heart, that we will hear what the Lord says this morning in Jesus' name. And amen. And you may be seated. Now listen to me carefully as I preach just a little while on as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. Jesus is coming. Nobody doubts it that has any consciousness of the Bible. There are many different versions of how he comes, when he comes, what happens at different intervals of that day. And people argue about all of that, and they dispute about it. But what I want to convince you of this morning is one simple thing. He's coming, and he's coming like a thief in the night. I want to convince you that if you are not watching for him, you are in a very, very precarious position of your life. If your children do not know that Jesus is coming at any moment, if your children don't know this, if they don't understand this, you've got to be responsible to see that they come to understand this. I believe this is more the duty of parents than even of Brother Chambers or any other pastor. You ought to have a Bible study with your children. Your home needs a home prayer meeting where you and your family meet together in a fellowship of the Bible and talk about the scripture. Talk about the word of God. And I beg of you to consider that. And so this morning, I'm trying to help prepare the way for you to do that, if you might consider that. So as a thief in the night, Jesus is coming. As a thief in the night, suddenly, Jesus is going to appear. Suddenly, the heavens are going to just split up asunder. All this universe is going to know that something spectacular has happened. Now, some people have taken this matter of being as a thief in the night to suggest that he comes and leaves and the saints are gone and nobody knows about it. And nobody understands it. That's totally contrary to the Bible. You can't read the scripture that talks about the elements burning up with great heat. You can't read the scripture talking about how everything in this very universe is going to be changed in a moment. And not know that that grand rapture is one spectacular event. It is so spectacular, it is so overwhelming that the Bible plainly tells us of what's going to happen after that rapture and all the things that's going to begin to take place. And so you can't doubt that when Jesus comes, this world is going to know it. This world is going to know it. And if you're not ready, you will not go. Your children will not go if you have not helped them to get ready. The only children that go in that rapture are little children that have not reached the age of accountability, and they have a godly mommy or a godly daddy that has sanctified them by their prayer and their devotion to the Lord. All the other children will be left here. Now, you probably have heard in some quarters of this day that all the children, period, disappear and go. There's not a Bible verse to support that. Not one. But there are powerful verses to support the option that mommies and daddies will be with their children in that tribulation period. They'll be searching for food to buy and grub to feed their children because they will have the responsibility. But the only way they can get it is to take the mark of the beast. And that damns their soul forever. And so it will be a dark hour. It will be a breathtaking hour. So I want you this morning to get the feeling in your heart. I've been praying lately. And I said it last night, I think it was, as I was praying. Lord, I've got to have you help me to make this coming of the Lord so imminent and so noteworthy and to preach it and to teach it with such a sense of urgency that I can convince people that it's about to happen even while I'm talking. I actually believe Jesus had come before I finished this message. How many believe that? Now, you really believe that. Come on, raise your hand way up high. You really, really, really believe he could come before I finish this sermon. You really believe that? You really believe that? Boy, if you believe that, it'll change everything about your life, brother. I mean, you'll be urgent about getting yourself close to Christ. You'll be urgent about living in that scripture. You heard those young people in the upper class, you heard them quoting the Ten Commandments. How many noticed the fourth one? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, there's so much in this Bible that people are paying no attention to, and yet they say they're looking for Jesus to come. Let me tell you how to know when you're looking for Jesus to come. When you are living in abandonment to him with all of your heart. When he becomes the center of your life, and you live every day thinking he may come today. He may come today. Say that with me, would you? He may come today. Now, I want to do four things. I don't know whether I have time or not, but I want to tell you what Jesus said about his coming. Did you know Jesus told us he was coming? And then I want to tell you what angels said about his coming. Did you know the angels announced he was coming? And then I want to tell you what the early church said about his coming. Did you know the early church really preached the coming of the Lord? And then I want to tell you what the Holy Ghost said about his coming. I mean, four witnesses. Do you believe if you were going to take some kind of business matter and you needed witnesses, you know that four witnesses is overproof, more than necessary in a court of law or a court of decision. Four witnesses of any matter, boy, you can stand on that. Well, the Bible gives us four mighty witnesses, and they're actually more than that, because you can go back to Isaiah, and you can go back to Malachi, you can go back to Psalmist David. There's so many other witnesses you can put with it. I was in a place of business the other day, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the person now, and a minister's son came to me, and this is a very prominent minister, a very well-educated minister, a very capable minister, an anointed minister, and a son came to me and said, Reverend Chambers, I want to talk to you about the coming of the Lord. I tried to talk to my daddy, and he won't talk to me. He won't listen to me. He just said, you believe what I'm telling you, and he doesn't give me any proof. Will you take time with me to eat a meal and prove to me and talk to me about the coming of the Lord? And then he proceeded to tell me he didn't believe in the pre-trib rapture. He believes we have to go through the tribulation period. And I was stunned. I haven't got over it. I'm going to be honest with you. I was so stunned. I've been stunned ever since it happened. And boy, have I been praying for that dear man. He's a dear person. I'm here to tell you. It isn't something horrible that I'm thinking about of him. It's just he's got to be helped. And I'm dedicated to doing it. But I want to tell you, we live in a day when people are not aware of how soon he's coming. They're not even aware he's coming. But I'm here to tell you, he's coming. Now let's start with Jesus. Do you believe that the witness of Jesus is the most powerful witness that you might ever discover? Are you willing to put the words of Jesus at the top of the list of the proof of anything? Are you willing? Are you willing to do that? How many of you will put the witness of Jesus above all the other witnesses in the world? Raise your hand up. All the other witnesses in the world. You'll put his witness. Well, let's read it. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 1. Listen, Jesus talking. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now listen, Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. How many will quote those words of Jesus with me? I will come again. Say it again, would you? I will come again. That's the witness of Jesus. He's looking at his disciples and they're so disturbed because he tells them he's fixing to leave them. And they have loved following him. It's been 3.5 years that they went with him everywhere he went. And they were close. And now they're fixing to leave. He's fixing to leave. And he said, but it's expedient that I go away in another place. And here he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hallelujah. You can't beat that. I will come again. Listen, Jesus said it. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now see, he's coming and he's not coming to get everybody. He's only coming to get his own. And he's going to receive them unto himself. That where I am, now they know later that he went to the Father's presence. They know that he went back to heaven, ascended up to heaven to stand at or to sit at the Father's right hand. And now Jesus is saying to them, I'm coming again, but I'm coming to get you. So that where I am, you can be there with me. I mean, you just can't make nothing out of that, but that Jesus is coming to get the saints of God. John chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3. Write it down and read it with your children and study it with your children and ask them to ask you any question they want to ask you, any question they want to ask you, and get this in their heart. Now, I'm planning this week, teachers. All of my teachers are here, but one. We'll honor them in a few minutes. They're really special. I'm going to be available to visit every class. And sit in there with you for at least one whole period and just answer Bible questions about the coming of Jesus. These last weeks of school, we got 4 or 5 weeks to go. These last weeks of school, I want us to get in the minds of every child. And I wish I had every mommy and daddy here this morning. But I'd like to get in your minds that Jesus is about to come. I want you to get it in your understanding. He is coming. As sure as my name is Joseph Chambers. As sure as this is the Paul Creek Church. As sure as we have a Paul Creek Christian Academy. The King is coming. And he's coming to get his own. You parents that really think that will be wonderful. Let me see your hand. Will it be wonderful when Jesus comes to get his own? Will it be wonderful? Have you got your sons and daughters ready? Are they saved in such a manner that you know if Jesus comes, they're going? How about you? We got parents in this school that are not saved. I know that because I know how some of them live. And you don't live shabby when you're ready to meet Jesus. You don't even want to live shabby when you're ready to meet Jesus. Oh, Jesus said, I'm coming again. Jesus said, I'm coming again. Did you hear me? Jesus said, I'm coming again. And there is no doubt about it. He's coming. But then, I love the idea that the angels said he was coming. Now, you hope you're writing this down, mamas and daddies. Even my folks here. You ought to keep these scriptures in your heart and study them to the very depth of them. To the very depth of them. Now, listen. Let's go to the Bible. Let's see what the scripture shows us. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Let's go to verse 9. The book of Acts, chapter 1. And when he had spoken, now he's standing at the Mount of Ascension. Let me give you the location. They cross the creek or the river from Jerusalem in the Mount of Olives. They're standing there talking together. There's about 500 people. And Jesus is with them. And here's what he says to them. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. I mean, here stands Jesus. And here stands over 500 people. And Jesus has been talking to them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And tarrying in Jerusalem until they would receive this power from on high. And now, while he's talking and they're watching and listening, he suddenly leaves the ground. And just ascends and goes up into the clouds. And they watch him disappear. What a spectacular moment. I cannot tell you anything more spectacular than this. Jesus ascended right from the Mount of Olives, right up into the clouds. And they're watching him. They're watching him. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Suddenly, as he goes up, they watch him as he disappears behind the clouds, and they're standing there, and they see the clouds cover his departure, and he's gone. He's gone. Isn't that beautiful? He's gone. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Angels. No doubt about it. Angels. Suddenly, here stands two angels. They're dressed in white. They're beautiful, spectacular. I mean, it's a wonderful sight to behold. And these disciples are watching. And they see these two angels. Which also said, this is the angels now talking to the people. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Listen. And when he had spoken, while they looked, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, now listen, shall so come in like manner, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Did you hear that? The angels are talking. And they're talking to over 500 people. And they just saw Jesus disappear. And they're startled. They didn't know this was fixing to happen. This was all unrehearsed. There was no prior warning. He just disappears. And they're standing there and they're troubled and perplexed. And he's gone. And then the angels show up and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go away. How many knew Jesus was coming in the clouds? How many ever go out in the daytime or in the evening or maybe in a rain period and you look up at all the clouds and you see everything that's up there and you say, but Jesus is coming. Reckon he might be behind one of them clouds. Have you ever seen a cloud that looked kind of like a chariot, like somebody could ride on it and show up? Well, he's coming, I'm here to tell you, in the clouds of heaven, and it's going to be spectacular. So you got two witnesses. You got Jesus, and you got the angels. How many of you would argue with an angel if he showed up to you? If an angel came into your presence and began to tell you something, you got to be careful. There are good angels as well as bad angels. There are bad angels as well as good angels. Oh, boy, I could start an argument right here, but I'll just stay away from that. I could tell you that all angels are masculine, but I won't go to that because I might get some of you arguing with me. That don't really matter. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about. But those angels, those heavenly angels, and they just saw Jesus leave, and the angel said, "He shall so come in like manner." Hallelujah. That's pretty clear, isn't it? See, now those are questions your children could talk about. Well, how will the clouds look? And all kinds of things that come out of a conversation of that. But I'm here to tell you, you could have a beautiful family event around that. Your children could just talk to you about it, and you could have them to maybe memorize these particular verses and make them part of their vocabulary. And you would be preparing your children to watch for the coming of Jesus. Whoa. I'm here to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, the Holy Ghost laid on my heart to get to you parents and say, do something about your children understanding these biblical truths. Don't just depend on Brother Chambers. Depend on your home to be a place where God is so real and they know that Jesus is really coming. Now, how many believe that you can take the words of Jesus and the words of angels and you can stand on it? Raise your hand. How many believe that? Raise your hand way up high. Come on. Don't be wimpy with me. Raise it way up high. You believe you can take the words of angels and the words of Jesus. He's coming. Oh, hallelujah. I said he's coming and I'm leaving. Hallelujah. I've been saying lately, he's coming, I'm leaving, but I'll be back in 7 years. That's a good one there, but I won't have time to get into it. But you see, we go to heaven for 7 years and then we come back to set up his kingdom on the earth. We come back to set up the kingdom of Jesus Christ on the earth, and we'll reign with him 1,000 years. There's been 2,000 years for Abraham and his crowd. I'm sorry, for Noah and Enoch and his their crowd. Then there was 2,000 years for Abraham and his crowd. Now there's been 2,000 years for the church and our crowd. The next 1,000 belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. I said the next 1,000 belongs to Jesus. Now let's go to another witness. The next witness is the early church. And that's found beautifully in the book of 1 Thessalonians. There are many of these. I mean, one after the other. But I like this one. This is really good. Let's begin with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14. Write that down now in your notes. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now Jesus said, I'm coming. I'm coming to get you. Got that? Then the angel said, he's coming like he went away. And now to add another witness to this, Paul says, and it's just as plain as it could be, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. You got those words? Descend from heaven. Coming down from heaven. Coming down out of the heavens. Shall descend from heaven with a shout. It won't be no quiet event. Woo, hallelujah. If I should hear the trumpet sounding right now and I could distinguish that was coming somewhere out of the sky above and I knew it had to be the rapture, I promise you I would start shouting and I would start hooping and hollering and you ain't never seen a man lose it so bad as I would lose it in praise and adoration because I had just heard the trumpet sounding. And I, woo, hallelujah, I knew when that trumpet sounded, it was Jesus coming. Anybody listening for the trumpet? Woo, where are you at, brother Johnny? I want him to play that sax. I know a trumpet is a little different, but I'm here to tell you, he is coming. And it says plainly, he shall descend from heaven. He shall descend from heaven. Let me read on a little further. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Hey, catch those words. Somebody say those two words, caught up. Caught up. Everybody say it. What's caught up mean? It means taken out of here. The Greek word is harpazo. It means someone who comes to get somebody they love. Did you know that? That word harpazo, Sister Paula, you like to get these things, means to come to get somebody you love. It means something you do for somebody that you infatuated with. It means something you do for somebody that really is special to you. That's what the word harpazo means. It means he's coming to get his saints. He's coming to get his sons and his daughters. He's coming to get those who love him and live for him. Those who sold out to him. He's not coming for those who half breed, half baked. He's coming for those who are fully ready. Go in a minute. Could you leave right now? You got any sins you need to repent of? I'm going to give you a chance to do that in a minute. You got some things you need to get out of your life? Right here's a good place to start. Get those sins out. Get rid of that whatever it is in your life that shouldn't be there, and become fully and wholly and completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's coming. Now, he said it. You say, Brother Chambers, it's been 2,000 years. That just makes it more powerful. Because on numerous occasions, he spoke of 2 days. And he said, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as 1 day. It's only been 2 days. And now it's time for the king to show up again. And I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. You're talking about messing with people's mind in the religious world today. When you tell them he's fixing to come any moment. They said are probably 50 years. You know what they say that for? So they feel excused to do like they please. How many of you, if you knew he was coming tomorrow, if you knew, without a doubt, no question, Jesus is coming back tomorrow, how many of you would change some things about your life? Lift your hand up. Come on. How many of you would change some things about your life if you knew he was coming tomorrow? Come on. Some of you playing hooky on me. How many of you, if you knew he was coming tomorrow, there's some things you know you ought to do different? Let's say it that way. Let me see your hand. Now stick him way up high and hold him up there. Now, look at me. Are you going to do anything about it? Are you going to change? Are you going to put yourself to live in the life of abandonment to him? He's coming. As sure as my name is Joseph, he's coming. You say it's been a long time since he said that. That just makes it even more sure he's coming. Hallelujah. We're right on the verge of his coming. Now, you say that's three witnesses. You've convinced me. Well, go back to my text. I want to go back to 2 Peter because I really like that. It says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What is he talking about? He promised he was coming. And he's not slack concerning his promise. He's going to do what he said. But he's long-suffering. Now, why is the Lord long-suffering? Because he wants others to repent. Do you know there are people sitting in this church this morning that the Lord's waiting on? And he wants you to get saved. Did you know that there could be one or two or three people in this building who would change their life this morning, that would finish up the bride, and Jesus would come this afternoon because he would be finished with his bride? He's waiting, long-suffering, for those whom he doesn't want to perish. He wants you to be saved. Very clear, very beautiful. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. If you think he's being careless about his coming, you're just as wrong as you can be. He's just simply waiting on you and a lot of others. And he doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to be lost. He really doesn't. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, being on fire, shall depart, roll back like a scroll. Hallelujah. All the things that's going to happen. Now you study those verses with your boys and girls. Study those verses in 2 Peter. Chapter 3, begin with verse 9. You study them. You read them. You take every word and explain it to them. And say, look at what's going to happen to this earth. Look at the things that you're going to see around you after the rapture takes place, or as it takes place. And get them understanding. See, I don't want to use fear tactics on your children. I don't like that. I don't want to do that. But I would like for you as parents to really show your children how near the coming of the Lord is. I'd like for you as parents to show them how absolutely breathtaking that event's going to be. And get them ready. I really want you to do that. I'm burdened about it. I'm burdened about those of you who have kids not in church and you haven't witnessed to them in weeks and months and years. You just leave them alone and pray for them. You need to write them an email, send them a text. Most of this young generation, all they know how to do anyway is sending a text. They read texts all day, so they'll probably read your text. They may text you back and kind of give you a little piece of their mind. Just text them right back and give them a piece of your mind. Your mind is much more mature than theirs. So give them some of your mature mind. And let's show this generation we're right on the verge. Right on the verge. The Lord is coming. I don't know when. You say, could it be a few years? Absolutely it could be. But I sure don't believe it's going to be. This homosexual thing that's coming like a storm. I mean, it's amazing to me what's happened in this world in the last 5 years. I remember saying years ago, the day will come, if Jesus tarries, that we will think we're already in the tribulation. It's going to be so dark and so ugly. And I can imagine nothing worse than transgender children. A child can't even, a young person can't even buy a bottle of beer until they're 21. And yet little 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds are telling mom and daddy, I got the wrong body. And they're going on the media to tell the world, my boy's got the wrong body. He's really a girl and he looks like a boy. Let me tell you, that came from the devil. Do you hear me? That came from the devil. Are you hearing me? Oh, we see him everywhere. He's really showing his ugly face. He really is. But we're getting ready to leave. Hallelujah. I said, we're getting ready to leave. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Now, 4 witnesses. I gave them to you with scripture. So there's no excuse. Now you know that Jesus is fixing to come. Amen. Now you know that what I'm preaching to you is right on target. Don't you? Don't you know? No doubt about it. 4 witnesses. 4 witnesses. Remember, it was Jesus. It was the angels. It was the early church. It was the Holy Ghost. And I could add my witness, number 5. But that's not important. Like those 4 witnesses are. I want you to know he's coming. Will you bow your heads? Father, I have preached to these wonderful people this morning right out of my heart. I could not be more deeply concerned that this generation would know about the coming of the Lord. I could not be more concerned. Okay, raise your hand and worship with me. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, will you pray, church? Please pray, church. Father, we're waiting on you. Father, we are waiting on you. We are waiting on you, Lord. We are hungry. Raise your hand if you're praying with me. Please raise your hand and help me pray. Every saint of God. Oh, brethren, you men are so important to me. You're so important to me, fellas. Ladies, young people. I love you, young people. I want you to know he's coming. He is coming. The witness is a gatoso prayer. Now, I want everybody in this building. Now, listen to me carefully. Every person in this building. Young person, children, whoever. If you can say, Brother Chambers, I really want to be ready to go when he comes. I really want to be ready to go when he comes. While she's playing, come on, give us a little volume of it. While she's playing. And you would say that. I want to be ready. Stand up. I want to be ready when he comes. I really want to be ready when he comes. Stand up. All over the building. Children, do you children want to be ready? Do you want to be ready, children? Do you really want to be ready? Do you understand? Please don't leave on me now until I finish. I know it was a little late. I didn't know it was 15 after. I'm sorry for that. I didn't look at the time. I lost my watch. Was kind of glad I did. But I'm looking for it. But listen, he's coming. And if you're not ready, we're going to have prayer at this altar. We're not going to embarrass nobody. We're not going to put nobody in an embarrassing situation. We just want you that mean that. You really mean that you've got to be ready when he comes. I want you to leave your seat and come here and stand at this altar as close as you can get. Come here and stand at this altar as close as you can get. Anybody coming? I want to be ready. You're just saying, I want to be ready. You're not saying you're not ready now. You're just saying you are determined even more than ever to be ready. Come here and stand. We're going to stand to make room for everybody. All right? Anybody else coming? Standing at this altar. Saints, do you really mean that you're going to go when he comes? Come quickly. Come quickly. Everybody in this building, every school parent, if you really want to dig into these scriptures and make sure you're ready, step out and come. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray with you. Everybody, come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. I want you to think about it. That's okay. I'm not trying to get you to hurry. I want you to think. We're going to pray here and then be dismissed. So if you want to come, and you just say, I want to get ready. I'm going to be reading these Bible verses, and I'm going to be working on my life. My brethren, would you come if you want to be? All the men of this church, do you really want to be? Young people, do you really want to be ready when he comes? Are you meaning business? Are you seeking him with all your heart? Are you going to search these scriptures Brother Chambers has read to you and preached to you about? Come quickly. Mothers, daddies, all over the building. Children all over the building, students in the school, you come to the altars often here and pray, and I love it. Come this morning. Come this morning.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood?
Anybody else would come? I'm coming myself. I want to be ready.
Trusting in his grace.
This hour, are you washed? In the blood of the Lamb. Now stretch your hand up and trust in the blood. Come, would you? Oh, I wish all of you would come. I love you, parents. I love you, parents. I'd be thrilled if you'd come here and stand with your children with us at the altar. It's not just for the church.
Man,
spotless are they white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now, if there's somebody not saved, you've got sin in your life, and you want to get in this altar and pray, you come and we'll help you pray. We'll help you make sure you know that you're ready. I know there's people here that are not living like you know you ought to live. How much longer are you going to wait?